This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at chrisducker.com/Rainmaker.
This is Youpreneur FM, the official podcast of the Youpreneur Mastermind Community. A place where no entrepreneur gets left behind in their pursuit of building a business they can be proud of.
And now,
here's your host, serial entrepreneur and best-selling author, Chris Ducker.
Well, hello and welcome to episode number 150 of Youpreneur FM. Thank you so much for tuning in. As always, here we are at the beginning of another month. I can't believe it's February. Literally, it's February 2016. Already, is it just me or did January just fly by at the speed of light? It was insanely fast how that first month of the year just disappeared. I know I've got a lot done. I've been pushing myself real hard here at the beginning of the new year. I usually do that. A lot of stuff has been going on, and I'll give you a nice little update on the blog in terms of things that have been going on and plans for the rest of the year very, very soon. Before I do that, however, today we've got my very good friend. In fact, my best friend, Mr. Pat Flynn, is back to the show one more time. We're talking about his brand new book, Will It Fly? It's a great conversation about self-publishing and really just everything that the book has to offer and why you need to pick up a copy. Before I do that, however, a couple of very, very quick announcements. First and foremost, this is super exciting. I have just announced my first live mastermind event of 2016. It's going to be taking place on May 7 in my hometown of London in the United Kingdom. So anybody is welcome to attend, okay? You can fly in from anywhere in the world. In the past, we've had people coming from Canada, from the US, from Germany, from Israel, from Spain, from France. I mean, literally, it's an international affair in London, baby. So you can basically just turn up for a few days, do a little sightseeing, drop into the Chris Ducker Live Mastermind, get some value bombs dropped on you, take your business up to the next level. You know, just your normal run-of-the-mill adventure in London. But, you know, seriously, I would love to see you there. We only have very limited numbers. As always, these events are very, very intimate. And the room that we have is only good for up to 30 to maybe 35 people at a stretch. So there are tickets still available, even though they've been on sale for a little while. If you're interested, all you got to do is pop over to chrisducker.com/London. Plain and simple. And it would be a great day of masterminding and brainstorming and supporting and building accountability. And we also have a very special guest that will be there presenting for us towards the end of the afternoon as well. So plenty of brainstorming, plenty of fun, and a real day to remember. See if you can make it. May 7, London, UK, chrisducker.com/London. Secondly, I'll just say as well as a reminder, don't forget, as a podcast listener, you get an instant $50 discount on annual membership for the Youpreneur community, which is kicking butt, taking names, and has got more accountability and excitement involved in it right now that you can shake a stick at. I'm absolutely loving the community and everybody in there. So if you want to become a Youpreneur and really take things up to the next level, you head over to youpreneur.com/podcast. for that $50 discount on membership. Okay, so into my conversation with Pat. You know, it's no secret. We're very close friends. Everybody knows this. Our families get on like a house on fire. Our kids play together. Even our wives go shopping quite regularly when we're over in the US as well. And we really just get on great and we get each other and what we're all about. When Pat first told me that he was going to be putting together a new book, I instantly got excited because I have that inside scoop in terms of what he's working on, as we're both almost each other's accountability partners in business as well. And so when he started telling me about the book, what the premise of the book was going to be, and exactly the concept and the content itself that it was actually going to include and that he was going to cover, I got even more excited because this is a book, truly, honestly, and I'd be saying it if it wasn't Pat's, but this is a book that needs to be written and published and read by entrepreneurs all around the world, even seasoned entrepreneurs, because we can sometimes slip into bad habits. So I'm not going to ramble anymore. Pat does more than enough of that for both of us. No, I'm just joking. Sometimes you can't shut the guy up. You just, I don't know where he gets it from. Anyway, here it is, myself and Pat talking about his new book, Will It Fly? Pat Flynn, welcome back to the show.
Woo, stoked to be here, man. Always glad to talk to you and your crew.
Now, look, is this three or four times?
Four or five? I don't know.
Four or five.
It's not enough.
Something tells me it's four.
I should be a regular guest on the show, I think, like every episode.
Yes. Yeah. Well, hang on. We've done that before. It was called One Day Business Breakthrough. We actually had a whole show, remember?
Yes. And it is – we've talked about it. I mean, it is going to come back. We've just had so much going on. You and your success with Youpreneur and my new book coming out. I mean, we've had – to put that aside, as all entrepreneurs should do, you know, you have to prioritize, and you know, we are going to go back to it. So don't worry, it'll come back at some point because it's something that Chris and I love to do. And again, that's why I'm so glad to be here and reconnect with you on a recording. And this will be a blast.
Yeah. Now we should say in, and you're known as a very transparent fella. In all transparency, this is like our third take to the beginning of this call because we were goofing off too much.
First two were crap and we were just like, we're laughing too much. And so hopefully we don't get back to that and have to re-record again.
And I love the way that you say that as an embedded suggestion for Chris to wisen up and just not screw it all up, basically.
Yeah. Right? Hint. I'm actually winking at you right now through Skype. So
I love it.
Okay. Not winking, that's weird.
But. Yeah, that would be a bit strange. But look, I did want to get you back on the show. A couple of things I want to talk about today, actually. First and foremost, the whole kind of self-publishing route that you've gone for Will It Fly. And then obviously I want to talk about the book and why this book, why now? Because I know that you've got a lot of different ideas for a lot of different books in the future. But why this book, why now, and kind of what you want to achieve from it. But let's talk real quick about that self-publishing journey. And you and I had this conversation. We've had it more than once because obviously Virtual Freedom was traditionally published. Do you go traditional? Do you go, you know, self-publish? What do you do kind of thing? Why did you decide to go via this route to get the book out into the world?
Yeah, this is definitely one of the most common questions. I've been doing a lot of interviews on other shows. And even before we start recording, people are like, oh, it's self-published. And then they go, well, that's cool. And at first, I'm trying to gauge whether or not they think that's a good thing or not. And I think if you were to ask somebody if they self-published, you know, a year or two ago, it would be like, oh, yeah, you couldn't get your own traditional publisher. I'm sorry, kind of thing, right?
Right.
And
right.
Now it's like, oh, snap, like you're growing some balls. You're doing this on your own. And that's exactly kind of what I'm doing here. I've had publishers approach me and want to work with me. And there's a lot of reasons why I went the self-published route. One, you know, I feel like the self-published route represents the SPI community because we're all doing stuff on our own. And that I feel is something that is more opportunistic for people to self-publish their own book. And if I can do that, I can go through the process. And as any good crash test dummy does, you know, put myself on the line and then report back on what works and what doesn't, as I always do with everything else. And so, you know, that's why my tagline is let's see what works. And so this is my try at self-publishing because I have known a lot of other people, yourself included, who have done traditional and have known what is good about that and what is bad. And one of the things I really wanted to make sure with this book that I have coming out, especially it being sort of the first big book that I've come out with. I've had another book, obviously, called Let Go, which was published in 2013, which did okay, but that was more of a, you know, biography, I guess you could say, on how I became an entrepreneur from architecture. This is my first how to do something, how to build a business type of book, nonfiction. And it's, I wanted to take an approach where I can have the most control over it, every part of it.
Right. And Let Go, and let's face it, Let Go, though, was a very small book as well. Like, how many words was in that?
It was like less than 20,000. So it's a very quick read. It was sort of a shot or a dose of inspiration for people. And, you know, people are still reading it. It's gotten nearly 400 reviews. You know, I think the average is 4.5 stars on Amazon. And I'm very proud of it. And and the purpose of Let Go was not to make money. It was not even to get more exposure. It was just to simply provide everything about my story to people, to build a deeper relationship with those who are pretty much already in my audience. This book is that plus exposure, which is why I chose to go self-publish and why I chose to go self-publish and primarily go through Amazon. Now, yes, I could get more exposure going through traditional and bookstores and those sorts of distribution routes, But that can always come later. And like I said, the control that I have over the experience of the book, not just the content of the book, which, of course, a traditional publisher will have some say on, and not just the cover of the book, which a traditional publisher will have a say on, but also how I control the experience through the book into my brand and everything else I have planned as far as coursework and other experiences with the SPI brand in the future. And this being a very foundational book, you know, how to test an idea before you get started to make sure it's going to work so you don't waste that time and money. This is a very, you know, first step for people. And I wanted to have control over that first step in how people interact with my brand, how people get content from me, so I can then hold their hand and help walk them through all the other steps that are coming forward.
And I mean, yeah, like I said, I had, you know, an early copy, very, very early copy of the book to go through.
Before anybody, I think.
Yeah, which is awesome. And it was, I mean, it's a great read, man. And, you know, I loved reading these words coming from, yeah, I mean, everybody knows we're best buddies and all that sort of stuff. But I mean, when I sit down and I read work from somebody that I quite obviously love with all my heart and still get into the book, like I'm not just reading it because I feel obliged to do it, like that,
right.
Just do just the intro alone of you and Keone and the paper airplanes and, you know, daddy, why isn't mine flying and all this sort of stuff like that. I can totally see that happening in that living room and just, you know, down the stairs and all the rest of it, because I've been there. I can put myself in that position. It was such a cool way to start off the book. And obviously, I mean, the content is gold, but you know what I loved about the experience, and it is an experience because you take us on that journey. What I really loved about it was how darn smart you were in kind of peppering different pieces of content that's available outside of the book in the book to get people back to your hub, to get them on a mailing list, to have them downloading free content and courses and all the rest. Tell us a little bit about how the mindset was in regards to putting that not only in the book, but in the way that you did it.
Right. Well, a major purpose, like I said, of the book is not just to provide inspiration and great content. And I think I did that in a very smart way using my own examples. You know, there's a lot of exercises in the book and a lot of how-tos. But one of my pet peeves with books is a lot of books that tell you kind of what to do and why, but not really how. Or, you know, the author, I feel like sometimes just tells you these things from a really high place and expects you to do them and doesn't. You know, how do you know if they did them themselves? And that's why you'll see when you read through this book, if you haven't already, I actually do these exercises with you, like all along the way, the whole time. And you know, part of the purpose of that was to just build a relationship with people and, you know, establish that trust with the readers. And yes, I already have trust with those who are in my audience. But like I said, a lot of new people are going to be learning about me and my brand through this book. And so I wanted to just establish that trust and be vulnerable up front in those exercises and take people along the ride too. But there's also a lot of things that I've done in the book to get people out of the book. You know, one of the hard things with selling on Amazon specifically is that you don't know who buys that book. You don't get to collect or somehow download that email list. If only, oh my gosh, that would be amazing if we were able to do that. But we
talk about validation, right?
Oh my gosh, right? So the next best strategy you can do is give people incentive to get off of that book. And there's a number of books that have done this, you know, that I remember reading back in 2006, 2007. 2007, Tim Ferriss came out with The 4-Hour Workweek. And that was the first book that I read that had all these links to go to this site, to go to this site, to go to this site. And that was really interesting. And a lot of those sites were his own sites, you know, in the 4-Hour Body there, you know, I kept constantly coming back to the 4-Hour Workweek website to learn how he was able to microwave the best tasting eggs ever, you know, that sort of thing. Well, in the book, I do something interesting that I hadn't seen anyone else do because, you know, I'm always trying to step it up. And I actually offer a complimentary companion course that goes along with it. So it's actually, you know, and I got this inspiration actually from watching Walking Dead because every time, you know, my wife and I, we watch Walking Dead, we're kind of religious fans of it. And we actually go to the conventions and stuff and that sort of thing. Whenever
do y'all dress up like zombies?
No, not yet, but maybe.
Yet being the operative word. I'd love to see that.
Yes. Yeah, that would be awesome. But the cosplay is ridiculous. Some people go all out with that.
Oh, no doubt.
We wouldn't even be able to compete. But before they start the show on AMC, they always share, oh, go to this website to get the Walking Dead story sync, where you can watch along when you watch the show behind the scenes information, cool fun facts about those particular scenes and all this other cool stuff that can go along with your watch. And I was like, wow, what if there was something I could give people while they're reading to enhance that experience, to give them something more, to make it easy for them to do things like click on the links I talk about in the book or see the worksheets that I'm talking about and actually how I go through them or instruct people to do stuff via video that I instruct them to do in the book. So that's what I created, a companion course that goes along with this book. You can actually find it at willitflybook.com/course. And of course, if you don't have the book, then you only get that part of it. But hopefully you have the book and you can get that to supplement and increase the likelihood of you actually completing the exercise and moving forward and getting inspiration. And of course, in order to get access to the course, you have to leave your email address, which then allows me to put people into that system, but also allows me to see where they're at in the process too, which is really smart. I'm using a tool called teachable.com to be able to track people through the course. There's a lot of other software out there that does that too.
Sure.
But I'm just experimenting with Teachable, and when I create more courses down the road, they would already have a login and username for their account, and they would just have to one-click buy into something else. So that's kind of the marketing play there in this long-term game that I'm playing, which starts with the book, and that's how I'm kind of getting people out of the book and into that system.
So let's talk about how you're going to market the book then. You've already got a launch team in place. It's going to be obviously helping to get the word out there. How many people are in that group?
500.
Okay, and you cut it at five. You cut it at five?
Well, no, we actually had, I think it was like 531 people apply, and we had said we were going to cut it off at 500, but 31 wasn't enough to just justify cutting 31 people. You know, it was a lot easier for us to take those 31 people than narrow it down and cut out 31 people.
Right.
If we had like 750 people apply, then it would have been, you know, completely random, and I think people would have been more understanding of not having gotten a chance. So
sure,
we took in the 531 people. The group is being led by another person. His name's Daniel Decker, who's had experience working with
people. Oh, I know Danny, right. Yeah.
Like, you know, Michael Hyatt and Lewis Howes. And, you know, he's doing an amazing job of just keeping people engaged, offering small bits and pieces of the book here and there, and actually collecting information from them that we can use. One of the cool things we did was actually ask people for their favorite quotes in the book. And so they're telling us these quotes. A lot of people, you know, in Facebook, because it's a secret Facebook group, they thumbs up the ones they like, or that, you know, they kind of vote up the ones that are great. And then we've taken those and turned those into social media, you know, Instagram or Facebook cards or Twitter quote cards, which is really cool because those are the ones that resonate with the group. And it's proven, it validates that that's something that we could then use as a part of the marketing strategy to get more viewers and more exposure into willitflybook.com. So that the launch group has been really, really cool, and actually was very motivating for me leading up to the launch of the book, because, you know, we shared the full manuscript, and to just hear the incredible feedback coming from people. And yes, they did offer some constructive feedback, which we then took into consideration too.
Right.
But the general positive, amazingly positive feedback just super motivated me moving into launch day and made me even more confident with going out there and actually selling the thing. You know, that was a big problem for me, and you know this, way back in the day, I'm not good at selling, or I wasn't good at selling. And I think part of the reason was because everything that I had previously sold in terms of actually big things like Breakthrough Blogging, which was a course that I came out with, which didn't do so well as well as I wanted to, it's because I wasn't really sure about it. You know, you know that going into that,
that
membership course, I wasn't exactly sure if it was going to work. And there was always something in the back of my mind that was like, this doesn't feel right to me in terms of how I want to provide content, but let's give it a shot anyway. And, you know, it's always good to ship, but I soon realized that wasn't a model that I wanted to do.
It didn't take you long at all to figure out that was not going to fly.
No, not long at all.
Didn't take you long at all.
And, you know, I wish I had my book to read before then, because I could have experimented with it. With an even smaller group to discover these things. But I did offer a refund even 2 years later to those people. And, you know, that was pretty cool. But now going into this book, I was, you know, with all the comments from the launch team, man, I'm like super motivated. And I know that I have to go out there and sell this thing. And I'm going to be completely confident in doing that, because I know it's going to help a lot of people. It's already helped a ton of people. And to see people do the exercises and actually writing down the exercises, it's completely mind blowing. I mean, I know you felt the same thing with your book, Chris, and to see people take action on what you spent time and effort on putting into that book, it's just so gratifying. And so to see it now in the public's hands and actually doing the exercises, getting information from it, I can't even describe it. It's incredible.
Now you're doing all of this through Amazon Create Space, which means basically it's only available on Amazon currently. Anyway,
currently,
And
there's more to that story. Yes,
yeah, for sure. And that, can we talk about some of that story?
Yeah, we can.
Okay, so we'll get to that in a minute. But basically, right now, Kindle version, paperback version. Are you going to get some hard? Because hardcover it costs. I know. Are you going to get some hardcover? Are you going to do an audio?
I am going to get a hardcover, and I do want to distribute in bookstores. Okay. And you might be like, "Whoa! I thought you said you were going to do self-publish." Well, how are you going to get in the bookstores? It's really hard to do. Well, there's a lot of publishers out there. I'm not able to name them at this point in time, but they are offering these services to publishers or to book authors that allow you to keep your rights to your book, yet still distribute in bookstores. Which, you know, they're just solving that part of the problem. They're not going to do any of the marketing for you. They're not going to do any of the control in terms of the creative or anything like that. It's just the distribution in the books, and then they're of course going to take a cut of whatever's sold in that regard. And that this is all brand new to me, and this is of course brand new, essentially relatively brand new to the industry as well.
So how does that work? I mean, do they end up, these publishers, and decide that they're going to go ahead and take a self-published book and stick it in the bookstores? How does that work from a distribution perspective? Do you know? I mean, are they going to say, right, we're going to order up, I don't know, 1,000 copies and distribute them evenly across our top 25 stores nationwide? Or do you need to order them and put them into the store yourself? How's that going to work? Have you got any
idea? They would handle all that. They would handle all that. And every deal that you make in this regard is going to be different depending on who you work with.
Of course.
I've had a couple people come and approach me, which is really exciting. You know, it's really cool. And of course, it would be for a hardcover. I'd still be able to do everything I'm doing on Amazon still. And that's all mine. The hardcover and what's being sold in the bookstores is the deal that I have with these particular companies, these publishers, which is really interesting. But it's so new to me. And this was offered to me pretty, you know, a couple weeks before the book came out. So I didn't have enough time to get into the bookstores.
Sure.
In time for the launch on February 1st, which would have been nice because then it would have potentially made me eligible for New York Times, because in order to be eligible for the New York Times bestseller list, you have to have bookstore distribution.
Yes.
So the timing was kind of weird, but the next phase after this paperback and Kindle version is going to be a hardcover book store distribution model and the audiobook too.
Yes.
And I think coming from, you know, somebody who is pretty experienced with podcasting, who has a large podcasting audience, it's definitely going to be a great way to produce that content and share it with others too. And I know a lot of people who are making a good amount of money on Audible too.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
With the distribution of their audiobooks too. So, you know, it's really fun. I'm right in this right now. I don't know all the answers. I'm going through it and I'm keeping track and I'm figuring it out as I go.
Well, this is why, you know, this is why I wanted to get you now. I mean, yes, obviously, I'm going to help you support the launch of the book and all the rest of it because I believe in you and the book and how it can help people. But I like the idea of now, you know, 6 months, 8 months down the line when that audio book is out and those hardcovers are being, you know, passed around and when the audio book has already been downloaded a whole bunch of times. You know, I'm all about wanting to try and update people on Youpreneur FM as well in terms of the journey as well. Exactly. Sure. So now, I mean, one of the things that I love about self-publishing as a whole is that obviously you have the ability to update this manuscript and then upload it again to Amazon because it's print on demand. So if you find out that something is not working, something is not resonating, something wasn't validated properly very early on as the book has come out, you can just go straight on in, make those changes, re-upload the manuscript, and you know from the next order onwards, they're going to get the brand new option. Right, how does that feel from an author perspective to know that you can update like that easily?
Well, for me, I feel like it's natural because I've been a blogger for 7 years. That's how it always is. If something doesn't work, you can just rehash the post and press republish, right?
Right.
So I feel like if I didn't have the opportunity to do that, which means I had gone traditional and didn't have that quick opportunity to do it, I'd feel weird. Like I would definitely feel like I had lost a little bit of control in that regard, and I'd be maybe a little bit on edge. I would probably do a overtime in terms of making sure everything in the book, which, you know, I did do overtime. We've gone through a number of passes with different editors to get different viewpoints. Obviously, the launch team has read through it and has helped too. So I've done my part to validate it, but it's great knowing that I could always go back and change things. Plus, it gives me an opportunity to make new additions. later on. Add more case studies, add new things as new tools come out that can help people with this process of validating an idea up front. So yeah, it's really cool. I love that idea. And it also, you know, I wanted to go back to what I was talking about earlier in terms of where this might potentially go. I also know a lot of authors who have gone the self-published route to start. And because of the success that they've had with their self-published books, they use that success as leverage when then working with a traditional publisher to get, you know, a higher payment or, you know, higher royalties or, you
advance
know, a lot more,
or whatever, yeah.
You know, advance. Yes, thank you. And, you know, a lot more leverage in terms of control. So, you know, that's, again, I would love to be a New York Times bestseller, but it was not the primary focus this time. It was a possibility with having this opportunity to publish in bookstores, but that opportunity didn't come early enough. And you know what? I'm okay with that because, again, that's not the primary goal here.
Well, not only that, though, but this is this is the first book in a number of books that you're thinking about publishing over the coming years. So you'll have plenty of opportunity to go after that New York Times bestseller label in the future, right?
Oh, yeah. And plus, I mean, the content of the book is kind of general, and which is what a New York Times bestseller book is typically. It's like a very universal, wide-reaching kind of topic, how to validate a business idea so you don't waste your time annoying. Yeah, that's kind of universal, but it's also very narrow in the sense that, well, it's for people who are starting a business or who have started a business and are kind of stuck. And that's not everybody. You know, it's not one of these concepts like The One Thing by Jay Popson and
sure.
Gary Keller, which is like anybody doing anything who's losing control and is lacking results can use the content in that book for anything to get massive results by focusing on that next one thing. So, you know, I know I have one of those types of books in my mind, if not several. And so, again, it makes me feel a lot better with not rushing into book distribution and potentially overlooking something important in the contract. And one of those things that's involved with that is there's a lot of, like, text and I have to read and contracts and that sort of thing with whenever you're working with somebody else, right? That stuff's always involved. And, you know, I don't always know all those things that are involved. So, you know, there's other people that who are there to help you. I could, you know, I'm looking into hiring a book agent to help in that regard. But then when you do that, you share, you know, royalties with that person, of course. So then there's author attorneys or author lawyers who you don't share that with, who have as much knowledge, if not sometimes more, about those particular things, who could help you in an unbiased way. So there's a lot of options out there, and I'm feeling them out right now as we speak.
So where do you think this is going to take the overall Pat Flynn / Smart Passive Income brand? I mean, like, if you could fast forward, say, let's say we fast forward right now at the beginning of February to the end of 2016, you're 10 months post-launch, where are things for you?
Well, I feel like because of a survey I ran last year, I quite know what the problems are. And a lot of the problems within my brand are a lack of control in terms of how people go through my site, you know, and how people navigate through the brand. The idea of people being overwhelmed by the amount of content and not knowing where to start, those by far are the number one problems that people have had. And they've expressed that. I've had conversations with people who have told me so. And so one of my big goals for this year is to help people through the process, to walk people more step by step, and to make it a lot easier for people to do that. And so that is where Will It Fly comes into play. That's where the new redesign of the Smart Passive Income blog comes into play come March or April. And that's where a course that's coming around that time too is going to help people through that process. So by the end of this year, I envision that I am going to feel a lot more comfortable knowing that I have a site, I have a brand that can walk people from the beginning through a series of steps that will help them. And yes, they could do that now, but they have to go searching for it. It's not very apparent. It's difficult to find. The wayfinding through my site and my brand isn't quite up to par. And again, it starts with these heavy hitters. You know, I could work on a lot of small things to make this happen, but I needed to start on something big. And I wanted to start a cadence, if you will, of these big, incredibly high quality things that I'm coming out with that people can expect from me. Because I think people have expected this kind of thing from me for a long time.
Yes.
And I think this is where it starts. And I think come at the end of this year, I think people are going to be looking forward to the big things that are coming in 2017 from me.
When we've talked, I mean, you know, we have the luxury of speaking with each other all the time, pretty much daily in terms of text and stuff like that. But from the conversations that we've had over the course, particularly of the last 12 to 18 months or so, you have started to use the terms like more than I've heard you say them before. You've always said them, but you've started to use the terms like growth, profitability, CEO. You've used that term a lot over the last 12 to 18 months for sure. Things like real business, you know, these kind of more high level blue sky type approach to, you know, business building and creation and marketing and just running businesses. Like, I feel that you've really come into your own in the last year and a half. And it's, you know, it's nice to see you now starting to come out with all these things that are very much your own IP that really truly do have the stamp of approval from Pat, because it's from Pat and it's not necessarily an affiliate link or a mention or something along those lines. What I mean?
And I think primarily I've been making my money, but I need to make a change.
Exactly.
Not just for, I mean, for a number of different reasons. For obviously my own security. I mean, any of these affiliate relationships could die tomorrow. Like in you know, Bluehost, which a lot of people know is my top recommendation, they could just turn around and say, no, we're done. Or maybe they get bought out and they don't want to work with affiliates. I don't know.
So let me ask you this. And why do you think it's taken you so long to get into this mindset? Because you've been blogging, what, 7 years now? Eight years?
Almost eight years.
Okay. So why has it taken you so long to get into this mindset, do you think?
It's all in my head. It's all in my head. And it's all the fact that I just didn't believe that I could do it.
Right.
You know, and it was a lot easier to point people towards somebody else's product that other people had already said it was great, that I've used myself, that has been great. And then I could just rely on that person to help my audience. And, you know, I think I've done a pretty good job of picking out and selecting those who I recommend, you know, handpicking those people, making sure that obviously, I mean, it's obvious. But I know that if I want to provide the best experience for my people, for my audience, for the people out there who do get involved with the SPI brand, I need to have SPI brand throughout their entire experience, not just to a point where I say, okay, now you go to this person. Like, I have the ability to help people more, and I've just been so fearful of doing these big projects that enabled me to do that, that my head was getting in the way of helping people in the way that I know I can. And I've since switched that around. I've since put helping people first before my own feelings in terms of, well, being scared of doing this or not believing that I can do it or that other people can do it better. Now I'm taking, you know, I've gotten a lot of inspiration actually from Ramit Sethi lately. That's where I keep using the CEO term from is, you know, I got that from him in a few conversations we've had together. And actually being the best, which, you know, for a while I was like, yeah, I don't want to be like, I want to be great for people, right? I want to be the best that I can be. But now I'm like, no, if I want to help people for real, like in this competitive space of online business where everybody's fighting for everybody else's attention, I have to be the best. And that comes on so many levels, not just the relationships that I build with my audience, which I feel like I am great at, and I feel like I can do that the best, better than a lot of people out there, but everything, all the products and the experiences that people have through the content that I have to serve, that wasn't the best. And I've wanted to make that the best now. And maybe it'll get there, maybe it won't, but if I shoot for the best, then it's going to be much greater than it could have ever been if I didn't want to do that.
I agree 120%. And I mean, you know, it's like anything else. It's, you know, when I sit down and I look at where I want to be revenue target wise, profitability wise, margin wise every year, and I do that every year. Actually, we do that in October for my business for the next year. Yeah, so I know exactly how much I want to make for the next year, 3 months before the year even begins. Some people do it even longer further in advance, rather. But I mean, when I sit down and I look at those things, if the first number that comes into my head, for example, is going to be $5 million, I'm not going to write down $5 million. It might be the first number that enters my head, but I'll probably end up at $6 million because I know that even if I don't hit $6 million, the fact that that was the target, the chances are I'm going to do more than five and I'm going to get closer towards the six, right? So it's kind of like that mindset. I think we get to the point, I think, a lot of the time where I don't think it necessarily comes down to self-doubt. But I think fear, all out just your pants scariness, is enough to stop people from taking major moves in their business growth that not only could make them a ton of money, but could also end up helping hundreds, if not thousands, of people. And at that point, you're actually letting people down. Like, you must do it. Like, it's your mission, your duty. Yeah. That's the term. That's the word. Perfectly. It's your duty to serve people in the right way and give them what they need to help them further their lives and their careers, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. I mean, it's hard because when you aim higher, you're right. It's totally scarier. scarier. But, you know, there's a quote by Les Brown that says, most people fail in life not because they aim too high and miss, but because they aim too low and hit.
Hmm.
Which really resonates with me because, man, it's like if you aim too low and you hit, well, what if you aimed higher? What could you have? I mean, we can't even begin to understand what that is because we're just aiming so low. So, I completely agree with you. And I think I'm definitely changing as a person. And, you know, part of a struggle with me in doing so and becoming this sort of CEO of my company now and having that sort of mindset, really working on the workflow and the production and hiring a team and building that out and making sure all the processes are as fine-tuned as possible and, of course, delivering the best content that I can, I was worried in going down this route. I had to make a conscious decision to do this. It's not just something that just kind of happened. You know, I was a little worried that I was going to be not Pat Flynn anymore, that I was going to be either like everybody else out there or I was going to take myself too far away from my audience. And I feel like I've gotten a lot of great help from other people like yourself and people in my mastermind group to help make sure that I still continue to be Pat Flynn. And I can continue to be Pat Flynn. I could just be a better, more CEO version of Pat Flynn who works smarter and who does things in a much more productive, efficient way.
And not just that, but as your audience continues to grow along with you, they'll expect that from you anyway, because it's just a natural term of events, isn't it? As you're building a business up, you've got to get more serious. You've got to become, you know, that more kind of high level type thought process.
What got me here won't get me there.
There you go. That's it.
I think Ramit also said that too. Or Jay Abraham or one of those guys.
Well, look, I mean, you've done a great job with the book, bro. I don't know what else I can say. It's a phenomenally good read. I've actually bought 50 copies.
Thanks, man.
I will be giving it out to, or giving those out rather, to my Upreneur members randomly, as I do with books that I love quite regularly. I just wish you all the best with it. I mean, we're just a few days post-launch. There's crap loads of buzz all over the. You can't turn on the internet and not get hit around the head with a copy of Will It Fly at this current moment in time. So I know it's going to do phenomenally well. I can't wait to see what happens. And I know what's coming up in the middle of the year. So I'm like really pumped with all of the different changes you're going to be making on the site and all the rest of it as well.
Oh, gosh.
Dude, so good.
Blow people's minds. Ugh. I can't. It's like I'm investing quite a bit of money to have this site become the best personal brand website on the internet. I'm sorry, Chris. I know yours is up there, but I'm gonna, you know, this is gonna, you got to see it. I can't even explain how cool it's gonna be and how interactive it's gonna be, how personalized it's gonna be for every individual who comes on the website, and just how it's gonna be able to take the content that already exists on the site and deliver it in a way that just makes it a lot easier to find and take action with and actually consume.
I love it. Well, I'm sure you're going to do awesome, man. I can't wait to see everything roll out. For you guys tuning in, willitflybook.com is where
That's
you
it.
Need to go right this second. Pick up a minimum of 2 copies, maybe
Thanks,
even
man.
More. You got to pick up one for yourself, one for your best friend who happens to be into entrepreneurship. They'll thank you for it. And
not into entrepreneurship. I mean,
maybe not into one. Yeah, maybe not. Maybe you know, they're, you know, in a totally different niche.
Here's a question that you
see how I said niche there and not niche.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. That's a very niche thing of you to do. That was dumb. I'm sorry. You know, one question that a lot of people ask me that you know, I wanted to address here is, well, why a book? Why isn't this a course to start out with? Why a book? And the reason I wanted to write a book first is because I figure with this kind of content and what it could potentially do for people, you know, if it was a course, it would be a little overwhelming. You know, a book is very much a low barrier of entry, very, you know, less in your face, you know, a very more comforting way of starting this process, I feel. And if I'm going to get people into more things down the road in my brand, why not welcome them in a way that people all know how to consume content you know, in a comfortable kind of way, which is through a book, you know, low entry, low adversity, low, just everything, kind of just very inviting. And of course, with the stories in the book and the walkthroughs and the exercises that I do with you, you know, I just want to help people at the start. And I figured this would be the best way to do it.
Well, I know it's going to be, and I can't wait to see, like I said, how things unravel over the next few days, weeks, and months with it all. Will you come back again and tell us how it all went and what changes you made and things like that? I'd love to report
on all that stuff and where the book publishing, distribution, all that, how that all pans out. Like, I'm really interested to see how it goes, obviously. And, you know, I have a lot of friends who are authors and people in the publishing industry who are there to help guide me along the way. And, of course, I'll pass on that information to you as soon as I receive it.
Nice. Cool. Love it. Guys, Pat Flynn, smartpassiveincome.com, willitflybook.com. Get over there and grab a copy for yourself. Brother Pat, thank you very much, man.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
All right, guys, we got show notes over at chrisducker.com/episode150, the good old 1.5 century today with the one and only Patrick Flynn. Flynn to the Pat, to the Pat, to the Flynn. We're going to keep going. I could keep going for ages. Should we just keep going? No, we won't. All right, guys, we'll see you next week. Until then, take good care, be kind to each other, and go pick up a copy of Will It Fly at willitflybook.com. Bye for now.
If the idea of an entrepreneurial community where you get to learn from the best in the business, as well as rub shoulders, gain support, have access to immediate feedback, as well as nonstop accountability from your peers, is something that excites you, then visit youpreneur.com for more information and to get started on building a business you can truly be proud of today. That's youpreneur.com. We'll see you on the inside.